This is WRFM, local radio for Oxfordshire and the Cotswolds.
Hello and welcome again to Science on the Radio, your weekly chance to hear about the fascinating science taking place in Oxfordshire and the Cotswolds. Broadcast and online at 10 a.m. every Saturday and repeated at 6 p.m. on Sundays on WRFM. I'm Nina Morgan. Well, listening to science chats on the radio is one thing, but hearing scientists discuss their work in public lectures is quite another and very inspiring. I'm lucky enough to live in Chadlington, where twice a year or so we are treated to an evening of talks featuring local scientists talking about what they do. It's called the Evenlode Geographical Lectures, and it's organized by local resident Nigel Windsor. Now retired, Nigel worked at the Royal Geographical Society for 29 years, where he was involved in all their overseas research programs. Then he spent a further 10 years heading up Earthwatch and its citizen science work all around the world, including the ongoing Freshwater Watch project. Freshwater Watch, by the way, is still looking for local volunteers, and you can hear about it in episode 28 of Science on the Radio, available as a podcast at www.wrfm.co.uk/on-air/podcasts. For the past few years, Nigel's been organizing and running the Evenlode Lectures. So what's it all about? And Freshwater Watch is something we've covered on Science on the Radio. It's great fun to do. I've done a lot of sampling for them, so that's excellent. But here in Chadlington, where you live, we are so privileged because you also run a lecture series. What's that about?
Yes, I've enjoyed doing this. Well, I woke up one morning when I moved to this beautiful village 10 years ago, recognizing that in the village there's untapped knowledge hidden away in the lives of those who live in it. So we created the Evenlode Geographical Lectures, and that was very simply the opportunity to share knowledge, geographical knowledge, by those in the village once a year, perhaps twice a year, spring and autumn lectures, with topics of what we call spring and autumn geographical lectures by Evenlode speakers sharing local and global ideas for the future.
So what kind of speakers have you had? It's been going for a few years now,
yes,
isn't it?
We've been very blessed. Of course, we've had your great self and your lovely talk on William Smith, the geologist. It's a great variety. Emma Mills spoke about all the work she's doing at Farm Ed with her kitchen garden and the importance of growing food locally, sharing it locally within the community. Keeping the carbon footprint as small as possible, and growing vegetables that will ensure biodiversity comes back to the area. So that was an incredible talk. We had a lovely talk by a farmer, Henry Astor, who spoke a lot about his wild hedges and the importance of farmers getting the balance between looking after nature and growing enough food for the world. And all he's doing at Bruin was a fantastic story. Another lovely topic was Monty Phillips speaking about the geography of wine.
That
was very popular, especially we had some tipples beforehand. But on a serious note, you know, what are the wine growers doing to help us fulfill the Sustainable Development Goals? And wine growers are an important community in the whole world. And he really brought it down to what the future of wine growing was going to be in as the world is becoming warmer. Really great talk. Of course, we had an artist, Jerry Eaton, who spoke about her fantastic project of what she did in lockdown, doing walks and interviewing the local community, bringing out the histories. And she produced a lovely exhibition of her work and her art. So it was lovely. So it's all varied and wonderful.
Well, that's great. And you managed to find such interesting local speakers. That's the amazing thing. There's such an untapped resource just in communities.
Oh, it's quite funny. I got one or two of my international friends or national friends said, Nigel, I hear you're doing some great lectures in the Evenlode area. would you like me to come and speak? I said, I'm really sorry, actually. You have to live in the Evenload Valley to be allowed to speak. The reason I wanted to do that is rather than import outside speakers is to realise that within the community we've got really great talent. Some say, well, I've never spoken before. I said, well, this is your chance. And it's a lovely moment because once you start talking about something you feel passionate about, it's easy. And everyone gets good roars of applause and everyone gets a little prize, and it's a fun evening.
Well, you know, you're on the same wavelength as we are at Science on the Radio, because although there's science everywhere, we restrict ourselves to Oxfordshire and the Cotswolds, and we've had to turn down world-famous speakers because they work in London, say.
Yeah, we're in the same boat, aren't we?
Yeah.
Well, it's lovely.
Yeah.
Well, there's no shortage of speakers. In fact, I've got a waiting list, and we've got some really great speakers coming up in April.
Well, I'm sure you're going to share a few contacts with us later on, and people will be able to listen to Science on the Radio if they miss it. But what have you got on the program this time? You've got a lecture series coming up. I read about it, actually, in my local Paris magazine.
Well, we had a good meeting the other day. Of course, we meet in the Tite, where we have our local board meeting. And we just reminded ourselves that we got three objectives for doing these lectures. One is to have a great community evening at the heart of the Chadlington at our Memorial Hall, lovely Memorial Hall, overlooking the Evenload Valley. That's an important thing to try and do. Secondly is to raise funds for the hall. Every village needs a good meeting place. And if you don't have that, we lose out. And those halls are not popular to fundraise for. So we like to do that. And thirdly is, as I've talked about before just now, unlock the incredible knowledge within the community. Well, in the discussions, we've identified three wonderful speakers for our talk on the 7th of May. The first is Anne Gate, who is a great activist in the village and much loved, and who, as a retired bookseller and teacher, has an encyclopedic knowledge of the area. And she's going to come and talk about landscape features and place names in Western Oxfordshire. In short, most English place names were established before the Norman Conquest and are old English in origin. Well, she's going to come and share what she's learnt about this area and realise there are names that aren't on the map but have stories to tell from a historical perspective. So we look forward to hearing Anne's story.
Well, that's absolutely fascinating. I love that mixture of science and history. That's very interesting.
Well, not only that, always think that geography and history are very close together on this, but it's by sharing what's happened in the past, it helps us understand in the future. I think that's really critical. Our next speaker is going to be Julie Ingram, who is a professor at the University of Gloucestershire.
But she qualifies because she actually lives in Chadlington.
Well, she's at the heart of Chadlington and very involved. In fact, one of the projects she's doing is freshwater watch work and keeping an eye on the health of our streams. Julie's going to speak about an important subject. How do we get to net zero? In simple terms, we all have to do more to reduce our carbon footprint. We just have to. If you're in doubt, the science of that is readily available. I was talking to the team at Copernicus the other day, Sam Burgess and her team. She was at Earthwatch, and the data they got on their website really shows the impact.
And well, who are Copernicus?
Copernicus is a lovely outfit in Europe that keep an eye on what's happened with our warming world and keeps advises on how fast we're warming. Often you hear Sam talking about this is the hottest year on record for the last 10 years. Anyway, the data there is exceptionally detailed. The reason I mentioned that is that Julie's going to talk about what does the transition to net zero mean for farmers and landowners? And that's a really critical question. And everybody has to say, well, what does this mean to me? And what should we be doing if we own a bit of land? What should we do? Because do we have to pay for this? Is this an extra cost? Well, the implications are that unless we do all work together as a community and help in a united way, we're going to be in difficulty. We're going to leave the world in a worse place for our grandchildren, and that's not good. So Julie's going to bring us a sort of achieving the government target for net zero by 2050 will mean big changes in the way land is used, managed and farmed. And she wants to open that discussion. So I think that's going to be a really useful, interesting topic to have.
It certainly will be, and I'm hoping and I assume some of our local farmers who have been involved in this kind of thing, they'll also be coming along.
We meet many of those at Farm Ed down the road, and so this is a discussion that's been going. Actually, it's growing exponentially, the discussion, and farmers who traditionally were saying this is not for me realise actually I'd like to be part of this discussion. I don't have the solutions, but I'd like to hear what is not best practice, but emerging better practice, I think is the way to do it. Having open discussion about it, I mean, there are implications for biodiversity, the food security, energy production, especially with to do renewables, and water management. I know those seem distant for some, but they're at the very heart of how we look after this, the geography of the Evenload. So I'm very pleased Julie's going to join us.
Sounds wonderful. Can't wait.
And then also, again, from FarmEd, I know there's a lot of links with FarmEd. I was at FarmEd with my grandchildren the other day, and we picked up a little booklet I've got in my hand here, which there will be copies at the lecture, A Year of Wildlife, A Guide to 12 Months of Biodiversity at FarmEd by Nick Patel. And he's a naturalist I really respect and admire. And he's going to come and talk about A Year of Wildlife at FarmEd, and he's going to take us through the months to tell us what we're likely to see. So I've got the booklet here. So I'm just going to open it up in April and see now what has he listed? What has he chosen for April? And there are seven things. Of course, we're going to see the barn swallow. And we'll all keep an eye over there. He's listed the lovely and very beautiful yellowhammer. As a little bird that yes. We hope to see. Gorgeous. I don't see them very often, but that's a lovely one to keep an eye open for. Then the willow warbler, which you very, very, very small, but look, hopping in the willow. Of course, the cowslips, which we all see. I saw yesterday my first brimstone. So the brimstone, the big, big yellow brimstone butterfly. And then he's listed the orange tip butterfly. But he's going to take us through the whole year, and he's not only just a great naturalist, but he's a fantastic photographer. So we're in for a big treat from Nick Patel.
Did he take the pictures in this book?
He took every one.
Because they're wonderful. They're really lovely.
Not only that, but he's been recording, if you like, change through as a naturalist. He takes teams out on walks to hear the dawn chorus. I think he's actually giving a dawn chorus talk the day before his talk with us at FarmEd. But he is one of those, if you're close to nature and you have a chance to go walk with him, you see another side of nature. So you're seeing nature through someone else's eyes who is just close and has a passion. He's going to bring that to our lectures. It's going to be great.
Well, it all sounds like an amazing lineup. And on the wildlife scene, I remember a talk in the past when actually a junior naturalist showed us what the results from his, what was it, a wildlife camera that he'd set up and what happened at night in Chattington.
Do you remember Freddie Morton, the young naturalist, early teenager, put up camera traps in and around. And his talk was called Wildlife of Chattington. People were a bit worried that meant about wildlife after the pub had closed. But no, this is about him recording the foxes and other life in and around Chattington. And he gave a fantastic talk. I'm pleased you mentioned him because the tradition is that one of the speakers from the talks gives the vote of thanks. So you'll see on the poster here that the vote of... The Q&A, followed by vote of thanks, is by Freddie Morton. So young Freddie will be giving the vote of thanks and handing out the traveller's mugs that we give every one of the speakers. You remember you received a little traveller's mug made by Martha Evans, who's a local potter. She very kindly makes some traditional travelling mugs with initials on. So we present those. And then after that, the bar is open, thanks to Jason Chipchase and his Chadlington Brewery team. So it's quite a gathering.
And a good time is certainly had by all. Now, I know these events, they sell out very quickly.
Yes.
I've seen it in our Chadlington Parish magazine, but are you going to be putting up posters?
Oh, that's so nice. So our marketing is very simple. We put up about 12 posters in and around Chadlington and Charlbury and one or two of the other villages. And they go up on the weekend just before the 2nd of April. And tickets are for sale from Café de la Poste in the heart of Chadlington.
Okay.
80 tickets, £10 each. Get down to the cafe, and Tracy Waldron and her team will be selling those tickets from the 2nd of April. And yes, we always sell out, so hurry, hurry.
Yes, hurry, hurry. Well, one time maybe we'll be able to record a few of your talks and use them. I've often relied on you to give me interesting contacts of people to talk to.
Well, I've got a lovely list of people who want to speak, and there's already names for the autumn lecture, which is lovely. But if you want to record the actual lectures, that you'd be very welcome to do that. I would simply ask the three speakers if they're happy for that. It's a good format. They all speak for 15 or so minutes. Always a bit of Q&A afterwards, and a bit of discussion, and. And the audience has always got some really a sort of sharp view on what is going on and ask great questions.
Well, the thing about these lectures that's so enjoyable is not only the speakers, but the very friendly atmosphere. You get people from all walks of life coming. Some come for the beer, some come for the tea and cakes, but everyone gets together, and it's a great way of bringing science into the community.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because the doors open at 6:15. It's an hour later this time, because we was asked that we could have it later because of those coming from work. So at 6:15, tea and cake. Cake made by Sue Myatt, Birdie Talon and Cece McGee. Donate the cakes. They're all delicious. And then the lecture kicks off at 7 and goes on till 8:30, and then that's when the bar opens.
And all the fun. And there's lots of discussion. It's a really great thing. So the message is, if you really should try and come, it's not restricted to Chadlington residents only.
No, not at all. Young and old. And life is meeting, you know. Everybody who you're sitting with in the audience is interesting. The person on your left and right are always interesting. Mm-hmm. And I think in this day and age, getting out and being together and sharing ideas is a lovely, lovely thing to do.
It is a lovely thing to do. And I know afterwards there's quite a lot of discussion, people on the street meeting, talking about what they heard. Have you had some interesting feedback?
Always, always. Even a couple of love affairs, I think. The point I think I want to say is that there's no, in this question of talking about the future and understanding our geography, there's no black and white answers to everything. So there needs to be dialogue and discussion to share common ideas. And I particularly welcome what I call the bright young new generation, with critical thinking and a commitment to wanting a better tomorrow. And it's really lovely when they come and ask questions and be part of it. But there's always good dialogue, and I know a lot of good friendships are made within those in and around the villages.
So it's really a don't-miss event, and your tickets on the 2nd of April if you want to come.
Well, it's always nice talking to you about this, partly because you've been such a great fan of this right from the very day, Nina, first day, Nina. And I'm beginning to look for someone to take a lead in, a younger person to take the lead in running them in the future. So if there's any young geographers out there who want to take a lead, please get in touch.
Well, that's really great. That's a great opportunity for someone, perhaps, if you're in your first year of university and you'd like to do a project, or six formers. How do they get in touch with you?
So I look forward to hearing from anybody, and if anyone wants to get in touch directly, my email is, it's on the posters, but it's nigel@windsordialogue.com. So Nigel, N-I-G-E-L, and then at windsordialogue, all one word, .com.
Well, that'll be good. I hope your inbox isn't too overloaded.
No, it can never be too overloaded. If I don't know the answer, I can put people in touch. But I think there is, as we look to the future, understanding our place in a changing world, it is not easy. And the world is changing faster now than ever before. And why I'm proud to use the term geographical in the title is that geography is everything from archaeology to zoology and everything in between. So my botanist friends come and clip my ear when I say you're only the B in the A to Z of geography. But I really believe it. And if we want to understand where we fit into a changing world, I think we need a geographical lens, hence the theme of these talks.
Well, I know you've got a big range of contacts and possible lists of speakers, but there may be people out there who have something they'd like to say. Are you looking for ideas?
Always new ideas, new perspectives, particularly from what I call some of the younger geographers. But you don't have to be a geographer. You can be a traveller, you can be a naturalist, you can... all interests. I think if we carry with us a passion to want to live sustainably and reduce our impact and look after each other, and on the basis that it takes a village to bring up the next generation, this is sort of the bigger opportunity for doing this. So, yes, if there is any budding new travellers out there. I did, in fact, invite three very young speakers for this coming up, and they're all travelling, so I'm going to tie them down for the autumn.
That sounds great. So, again, they should use your email address.
So my email is nigel@windsordialogue.com, N-I-G-E-L, at W-I-N-S-E-R, dialogue.com, windsordialogue.com.
Great. Well, thanks for telling me about it, Nigel. Look forward to it.
Well, I look forward to seeing you there, and pray for a lovely sunny day, because it's always lovely having tea and cake overlooking the Evenode.
Absolutely.
And at that time of year, early May, it's absolutely a beautiful time. And it's the day before VE Day, so it's not a day, it's a good day to remember.
A real celebration, and for the Memorial Hall too, of course.
We'll have the bunting up.
The next lectures will take place on the 7th of May, and ticket sales open on the 2nd of April. So mark your calendar. And even if you can't make it to the Evenload lectures this spring, all is not lost. We hope that some of the speakers will be gracing the WRFM wavelengths in future episodes of Science on the Radio. And, of course, you can always enjoy hearing about the science taking place in Oxfordshire and the Cotswolds by tuning in to Science on the Radio, broadcast and online 10 a.m. every Saturday and repeated at 6 p.m. on Sunday. Or listen in anytime at wrfm.co.uk/on-air/podcasts. See you then.
This has been Science on the Radio with Nina and Grant. To find out more or to suggest topics you think we should investigate, visit us online at wrfm.co.uk and follow the links to the Science on the Radio page, where you can find out all the information about us and replay any of the shows that you've missed. And if you've got a question, just drop us an email at science@wrfm.co.uk. Science on the Radio is broadcast 10 a.m. on Saturday mornings and again at 6 p.m. on Sunday evenings.
This is WRFM, your local radio station for Oxfordshire and the Cotswolds. On FM, online and on your smart speaker. We are WR.
All we need to do is make sure we keep talking.